Hey, welcome to Life is Short. This is a podcast about trying to bring a short film to life.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. So here we are with episode 10 of the Life is Short podcast. And so I'm the last episode, episode 9, it's been a while. It's been about a month, actually, since we recorded. And you were off gallivanting in Los Angeles. I did that episode solo. We can take 1 minute to sort of get your perspective on what your trip was like. And then we're going to be talking about today the shoot. So we just completed a few days ago the 2-day shoot for the short film Forgetting Me. And we will get into those details. So first off, how was your trip to LA? What was that like? You were at a trade show, right? Cinegear Expo, I think it was.
I drove down the coast, Oregon coast, California, and then ended up in LA. And it's my favorite gear show. I like it better than NAB because it's on the Paramount backlot, and all the gear is there, and all the cinematographers are there, and it's just the right vibe. And I got to check out a lot of gear, get some hands on, and check out what all the manufacturers have just released.
So, was there anything in particular that that you fell in love with, or anything down there?
Oh my god, everything! I mean, there's so many things. I got to check out a brand new lens from Takina, and we ended up using that lens on our shoot this last weekend, which is amazing, along with a set of their lenses. So that was just incredible. And I tried the Tilta Gravity gimbal in LA that we ended up using on our shoot this last weekend. So I tried that on there. I tried a few gimbals on while I was there. I love it, and I love talking to the manufacturers, and gear is fun.
Yeah.
Gear is fun.
I saw some of your photos on Instagram, and it looked like it was actually a lot of fun, and also just a perfect place to kind of like geek out if you love gear, because just it looks like so many. I know we talked a bit while you were down in LA, because we were sort of in the midst of pre-production, just like, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks away from shooting. So even though you were on holidays and sort of doing that kind of stuff, we still maintained contact, and you're kind of going through that stuff. And I know there was we ended up talking about the gimbal, and then I went searching for YouTube videos and stuff. And next thing I know, I just lost, I don't know how much time, sort of like marveling at all the incredible footage that you can shoot with a gimbal attached to like helicopters and cars and all this stuff. I was like, oh my goodness. So it was very cool to actually get to use that for some of the scenes in our film that you ended up shooting for me. So it was very cool. So yeah, the tech side of that is fun for anybody who has like an inclination to sort of geek out on that kind of stuff. Maybe a perfect segue, because you've already touched on it, was the lenses that you, because we want to talk in this episode mostly about the shoot, because that was, you know, obviously a big exciting moment in all the creation of this entire effort. But you mentioned that you ended up connecting with some folks down there from Takina and the lenses. So maybe do you want to like start there as a segue into our discussion about the shoot?
Well, I guess I would say that gear is really important, and a lot of people focus on gear. And certainly I do gear reviews, so I focus on gear. But the gear is really about choosing the right tool for the job. Yeah. And with this film, you know, we did a lot of pre-production, and we did a lot of testing on how we were going to shoot it. And I come from the philosophy that I don't like just shooting with a wide lens and shooting a whole short film with it. And, you know, picking up a tripod or picking up a gimbal or picking up whatever. And someone says, why are you shooting with it? And I go, I don't know. It's cool. It's fun. It's neat. It's whatever. Like, I'm very, very specific.
It has to be intentional, right?
It has to be intentional. Yeah. Everything has to be intentional. And I think you saw that with my choices, even.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that let's try this. And why would we do this.
Well,
and
you know what I'll say about that is I think that's where I feel, and I mean, hopefully you agree, but because we haven't, neither of us have like fired the other person yet after all these years. But I think one of the ways that we either complement each other, or at least that I appreciate that I think you bring to the sort of the experience of like doing a project like this in filmmaking, is that I, in some ways, we are very, very similar in the, I think we talked in some of our pre-production when we were doing tests at our location and doing, you know, because we did like hours and hours, as you know, of tests and trying to just prep and getting the shots. And so and part of that for me was really about not just kind of being aware of what we're going to shoot, but also just wanting to be prepared, because a big pet peeve of mine in other productions that I've worked on in the past, and also just in general in my work life and creative life, is I hate wasting time. Like I have this very sort of, I'm impatient, and I get frustrated with sort of, you know, just that whole idea of like, okay, well, you know, I guess there's sort of a stereotype, I guess, around film sets, around hurry up and wait kind of thing. And there's all this work, and there is a lot of stuff, which, you know, we did experience a bit of it, but I think for the most part, it flowed really quickly. And so much of our prep, to me, not only did it allow us to make, you know, beforehand creative decisions and pre-visualize what we were going to do, and allow you to think about like, yeah, this is the kind of lens we want to use here. Maybe we should do this here. This is the lighting we need, which is all great to already have planned out, because then it feeds into sort of the side that I really also, in terms of like just keeping the production moving, of like, I don't want to be sitting there making those choices, which, you know, we improvised a bit here and there, but I felt like we had a really good foundation going into the 2 days of shooting, of like, we fundamentally know what we need to get. You did a really detailed shot list. We kind of knew what was necessary. And then in the moment, we made adjustments based on suggestions from the actors or the crew or just ourselves in the moment. But I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate, because it, I think there's a real good, complement between the two of us in that sense, in terms of like, we share sort of a creative vision, but then there's also that, I don't even know what you would call it, just the logistical side of kind of wanting to be prepared, and what that means when you get to, you know, when you get a crew and actors together, and you know, they're sort of, the pressure's on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the pre-production was key for how well the shoot went. The shoot went amazingly. Like, I've never been on a smoother shoot ever.
Yeah.
And part of that was, at no point did we go, okay, what are we going to do here? Ever. No. I knew exactly what gear we were using for which scene. We did improvise and say, okay, well, that looked really good, so let's continue this scene doing that same kind of thing. We did kind of do that. But we knew focal lengths. We knew exactly what gear. And like I said, and I don't want to give too much away, because I don't like, you know, I honestly, I would just want people, as it is with some BTS, you know, I want people to experience the film, and then we can show them after, you know, some BTS and some other stuff, so that they can see how we did it. But I don't want to have people watching for that when they're watching the film. I want them to just take in the performance and the atmosphere and everything else. But nothing about this film was accidental on any of our parts. I think it's a very great example of being precise, you know, being precise. And I can't wait to kind of share with people the pre-production that we went into after it comes out, to kind of show people like, this is everything that we put into this, as far as like exactly why we chose certain pieces of gear to shoot certain things. And so getting back to the lenses, mm-hmm. Like I said before, I'm not the kind of person that's like, let's just throw a 35 millimeter lens on there and throw it on the camera on a gimbal and let's shoot this thing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be neat. You know, I knew one of the things you and I had talked about, what we talked about, kind of like our inspiration and kind of the look of the film. Mm-hmm. And then just before we shot, you know, you said to me, did you check out the stills I grabbed from other films? You know, it's a lookbook, what people call it, a lookbook, some inspirational stills from other films, which is a very important thing to do with the cinematographer, the director, so that you're both on the same page as far as the look. Yeah. And one of the things you said to me, and it's ballsy. You said to me, you're showing me all these stills. A lot of them were shot on the red camera that we ended up shooting on. And you said, I want it to be really dark. And when we did the tests, I was like, okay, this is going to be really dark. Are you okay with that? Like, are you okay not seeing their facial expressions? Are you okay in certain moments not seeing this? Because once you shoot there that way, you can't go back. You can't go back and pull up the shadows and find an expression on someone's face. So it is a very risky thing to shoot dark. And as soon as you were like, here, check out these stills, and I saw what you were talking about, which are very dark films, that just gave me the creative agency to go, okay, I'm going there. Yeah. I'm not going to shoot. And still, I have to be careful with the red camera and make sure I do feed it that light so that I was checking the grain meter the entire time. I don't want a big grainy film or anything like that. So we did. I still got what I needed from the image. But it's very ballsy. And I hope that – I know that when people watch it, they're going to be like, holy crap, there is some serious drama and atmosphere. So really, really – and again, it wasn't just because you like dark movies.
No.
It's because it works with the everything about the film. Exactly.
And on that note, and I know, something we can talk about further down the road, like you said about, kind of delving into more of the pre-production once the film's out. But one of the things that, the film takes place essentially in the middle of the night. I think between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning type of thing. So it's basically dark, it's even in the summertime, it's pretty dark at that time of night or morning. And one of our challenges was making sure our location was dark enough that we could actually shoot. So that was a lot of our pre-production. But the thing is, you might remember we had a couple of conversations where we were like probably a couple of weeks out and trying to darken the windows and trying to think, okay, are we going to be able to do this? And I remember we briefly talked about a bit of a backup plan. We're like, okay, well, you know what? Maybe we could just adjust the script. And this happens at like 7:30 in the morning instead of, 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. And it was a possibility. If worse came to worse, we could have made that adaptation so that we could shoot with maybe more light and maybe even sort of full daylight coming through the windows, and it still would have made sense. But your point is correct, is that it was never my intention with the script and the story in the first place, because I'm sure we would have done an admirable job and it would have looked great and all the rest of it. But we both kind of like talked about it and then we're like, nah, we've got to make this work because it has to be dark. And so not only is it creatively part of supporting the actual story and the mood and what is actually happening in the story, but then, like you said, like it also, in terms of the ultimate look and the complement to the story, it meant you had to make, the choices around, okay, we're going to shoot, it's going to be dark. So we have to be careful with, like you said, grain. And then also, the gutsy sort of decision around whether or not, we might be limited with what we get. And then, like, we can't go back. So I think it worked out really well. Like I know I've seen a little bit of the footage on one of the backups on my equipment here. And
what, you're looking at the footage? I'm just kidding.
I know you're in the middle of editing. We'll talk about that another time. But so I know we keep going to the lenses and then bouncing
okay,
off.
Okay. No, I want to circle back to them. So yeah, the premise of me saying all this is,
yeah,
when you're shooting dark, you need to have lenses that are good in low light.
Yeah.
And they can't just be lenses that can shoot in low light, because that's the first part. So you have to have like lenses that are a T-stop or an F-stop that are good in low light. So the lenses we ended up with, very, very extremely fortunate to shoot with, are the Takina Vista Primes. And these are cinema lenses with a T-stop of 1.5. Mm-hmm. And there are other lenses on the market that are also that good in low light, T1.5 or T2 or T2.8, but they're not necessarily sharp at T1.5. And that is also a pet peeve of mine. It has to be sharp enough. It doesn't have to be, super duper sharp, like over the top. It has to have character, but it has to be good in low light. So yeah. I did put a lot of thought in, like, what are we going to shoot? What lenses are we going to use? I really wanted it to be cinema lenses, so that when we're pulling focus, the lens isn't breathing, and it's not, when you're using photo lenses, it breathes, and you actually see kind of when you're focusing, the background or the foreground zooms, mm-hmm, as you're focusing. So like the object gets bigger or smaller as you're focusing in and out. These lenses are cinema lenses, purpose built for cinema, so they don't do that. And we do a lot of focus pulls in the film. The other thing that we do is we shot the majority of the film between 1.5 and T2.8, which is extremely ballsy because it means you have to be right on point with focus. And then when people see how we shot the film, there's definitely some skill involved to shooting it and focusing it in that range, you know, and as well as capturing the performance and everything else. So none of this, just to get back to it, is accidental, you know. And when, you know, the director says, hey, let's shoot it dark, and you gave me that creativity to do that, I knew in order to achieve that, in order to feed the camera enough light, in order for us to not overly light the scene and then have to bring it down in post, in order to do whatever, we need good lenses. And I was just over the moon about not only like the fact that we got to use those lenses, but the character they brought to the film. I think everyone is just gonna, I think, I mean, I don't know, I'm biased, but like I looked at the footage when I got home and I've been editing. I'm like, wow, like there's very little for me to do here as far as color correction and everything else in post. It just looks fantastic right away. So yeah, anyway, that's that. And there's so much we could talk about with regard to the shoot. And I do think that we'll get into also crew and who we had on and all that. Maybe I guess in another episode. Yeah. I just want to kind of circle back on that. But so far so good with everything. And yeah, I don't know where you want to take it from there.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing, maybe because there is a lot we could potentially talk about, so it might be worth sort of revisiting in another episode around just like maybe a part two of the actual shoot. But maybe for the rest of this particular episode, is it maybe just a question from your perspective, like anything that you found particularly surprising, or like, I know we already talked about the fact that it went really, really smoothly. So from that point of view, I don't know if there's anything surprising, because I know from my perspective, there wasn't really anything surprising in that sense. Cause I, like I said before, I appreciated the fact that we had a detailed shot list and a schedule, which you did. And the schedule, by the way, was like pretty much almost like to the minute. It was insanely accurate. So even after the end of the first day, it was like, oh, you could have almost like literally set our watches to our schedule. And it was just like, oh, wow, that was exactly right. So that was a great sort of compliment to you in terms of planning out the shoots and stuff. But anything that stood out for you maybe as like maybe either surprising or just something that went particularly well or something that you expect?
I guess two things. The first thing was I knew that, I mean, when I was talking to crew and picking out crew and everything, I like as the producer, putting on my producer hat and doing that. I don't want everyone to be like, what is she doing? She's doing all these roles. As the producer, as I was like talking to crew and picking crew, you know, I explained to them, you know, the vibe of the set and what we wanted. I guess my delight, exactly what I wanted happened. So that was, I guess, a surprise and a delight, and also exactly what I asked for, you know, that we had this great crew that were very supportive and just the vibe was perfect so that the actors had an opportunity to act. And then the other thing was, you know, I mean, there's always when you're using new gear or gear you haven't used before, there's always kind of a little bit of a learning curve thing with that. And I never suggest taking a new piece of gear to a set. You should always practice lots, but I didn't have a lot of time with the Tilta gravity gimbal prior to, and some of the setup with focus pulling with it. And also, you know, the arms, maybe they could have been a bit tighter. So there was a bit more tension. They were quite loose. And that's how the person who uses them had them set up purposely, because he likes them really loose. I noticed that on the second day, I kind of tightened them up a bit, but there were some things where, you know, you don't necessarily want to learn about them on the set where you know, you're watching your footage after and going, okay, well, you know, whatever. I wasn't surprised by that. I knew that with, adding a piece of gear, I hadn't that particular piece of that gimbal. I've used other gimbals, that particular gimbal that I would, you know, there would be a little bit of a learning curve there with it. So I wasn't surprised by that, but that's about it. I mean, it couldn't have been a more precise, more almost like it's all about pre-production. That's my takeaway. Yeah. The shot list, the schedule I developed, it was a completely precise. Like everyone even said, like, I've never been on any film set that started on time, ended on time, and we were on time. I think we ran 10 minutes long at the start of the day, and then that caught up, and we broke for lunch at the right time, and it was over at 5, like I wrote on the schedule, and the next day it was over the time that we were, but we continued to play around just for extra stuff that we needed because we knew we had some time with the actors and they weren't going to run out of the building. But I'm just so thrilled that it went well. You know, I'm just trying to really honor this project this whole time that you and I have been working on this forever, 3 years. I've been just, even in this edit, I'm just trying to honor the project, bring what I can to it, which I think I bring, you know, quite a bit of stuff to creative stuff, a lens and skill to these things, but I'm just trying to, you know, just honor the project and make sure it went well. And I think it did that, you know. I think if anything, you walked in on, or you were there actually on Saturday morning, and I saw you surprised by how well everything was going. I don't know.
Well, I don't think I was surprised. I just was, I think, you know, it's honestly just the, it was probably a bit of, if anything on my face, it was probably just anxiety to kind of like get things underway, just because, you know, I knew we had 2 days of shooting ahead of us, and there's always that unpredictability that kind of goes along with something like this. Like you said, there's like, you know, gear, and you know, we hadn't seen the performances. I'd had a rehearsal about 2 days before with the actors and spent 2 hours with them, so that was great because that gave me comfort. And it all comes back to I think how we sort of started this episode. For me, a big part is just being prepared, and it's maybe just part of my nature. It's just where my comfort is, and I think the countless hours of pre-production that you and I put in the weeks leading up to this, never mind, you know, the hours of conversation that we had, you know, beforehand in various forms over the script or just brainstorming or whatever. I think it all kind of came together on that day on those 2 days. And that I think, like you said, for me personally was like one of the biggest things that I was really happy about, just that I didn't have the added anxiety of things going sideways or of massive delays or of having to deal with, like, you know, keeping people long because we didn't get the shots we needed or just any of that. Like, you know, the actors came together and delivered like pretty outstanding performances. The crew were great. We had a really small crew, and they were just, you know, even that, I would say, like, for one of the things that I was surprised by, I suppose, in a positive way, was the suggestions that came from some of the crew, like creative suggestions in the throughout the days. You know, even just little small tweaks of like, oh, maybe what if somebody sat down here, or what if we did that? And the impact I think it has ultimately on the what we see on screen. So that I think was just, it was just a testament to the, I think, the group and the vibe and the people that you pulled together. So I think that was a really positive aspect.
Yeah. And I think filmmaking is a group effort. Like, I mean, it really is like, and you know, it's tempting to just do it all kind of yourself, especially like me. I shoot, I edit, and I can do lots of stuff. But like when we work together, it turns out to be something better. I mean, it can't not. And so having that little input and being willing to hear the input, that's the other thing. Yeah. There's a lot of people that would just be like, well, F off, you're not the blank or the whatever. But, you know, having that little input, it can always build, especially if it makes sense, it can always build the project up. It takes it up a notch, and that's why, you know, you rely on people that have skill. That's why you get good people. And people that have skills in areas that you don't as much excel in, you know, so that they can be the good sound person that you don't have to be. And they can be the good camera person that you don't have to be. And, you know, and then we're people, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be the actor and all these roles. You can rely on people to bring their skill. And then you're starting to make a really great piece. And this is definitely a testament to so much pre-production. And then execution and the execution was skilled.
Yeah.
For, on everyone's part. Everyone's part. Yeah. And we'll definitely, on our social in the next coming weeks, I'm definitely going to be doing a little profile on each of the people that were involved with the film. That's one of the things I wanted to do, and talk about them from the actors to the crew. So people can watch out for that.
Cool. So I think we'll wrap up at this point. So maybe we will, I think it might be worth doing sort of maybe a part two. So we'll have to, you and I will chat about that, but for now we'll end this episode. So thanks for listening. We will be, another future episode that we've got planned is, I will be talking to a composer that we've been working with, or I've been working with, on this film. She's creating an original composition of music, basically the theme for the film. So I'm super excited about that process. I've alluded to that in a previous episode, but, she's happy to, you know, get on the podcast and kind of share the process and talk about that. So that's going to be an exciting thing to look forward to. And, in the meantime though, definitely check out our website, forgettingmemovie.com. We, as Kelly mentioned, we've got, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, both of our personal accounts, as well as the film account. But you go to forgettingmemovie.com, you can find links as well. There's an email list you can subscribe to from the website. And of course, subscribe to the podcast. We're now on 10 different services. So as over the time since we started, now we're up to episode 10 here, it's managed to grow and expand into a variety of services. So we're on the new Google Podcasts app, which just launched a couple weeks ago. We're on Apple, Stitcher, and a whole bunch of others. So pretty much everywhere you could possibly listen to us, we're now there. So please go and listen, subscribe. And if you have any messages for us, you can always get in touch with us through the Anchor app, which is the app that we use to record this. So if you just install that app on your iPhone or your Android phone, you can send us essentially a voicemail, and we can possibly use it on a future episode. So if you have something to share or a question or anything, I'm happy to hear from anybody who's listening. So anyways, until next time, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.